Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. And today, I have an author with quite an important message. She is Nancy Newlin. Nancy is a fifth-generation Floridian. Writing was important to her even as a child. In high school, she worked through her emotions by writing them down through poetry. She found focus and understanding when writing and reading them later. And although the writings remained private, this practice continued as she grew. Nancy has published her first book, Return to Me, God's Heart Cry, in softcover and ebook format, which may be purchased on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, and on her website, returntome.info, nanewlin.com, or standtogetherinc.com. Nancy lives in Florida between Ocala National Forest and Seminole State Forest. She is frequented by a host of wildlife, including bears, turkeys, and sand cranes, raccoons, and deer, along with a variety of birds. She loves all things outdoorsy, from riding bikes, canoeing, boating, picnicking, hang gliding, photography, and gardening. Nancy grows orchids as a hobby, and she claims she could never have enough plants. She is an accountant by trade, working at a CPA firm as a staff accountant. She went back to school and obtained her bachelor's degree in accounting. She is a member of the Alliance of Independent Authors and a member of Northland, a church distributed. And I am ready to learn more. So welcome to the show, Nancy.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a happy day to have you here. Thank you for being here. I'm interested to start off with, you grow orchids. I always heard that that was time-consuming and took patience.
No, that's not even true. I've been doing orchids for probably 20-plus years, and they're very easy. You only water them once a week, and you fertilize them. They're actually parasites that used to grow on the top of trees that we've domesticated them in pots. But they actually, the roots grow around the, another host, and they grow on the top of trees. So they're actually very easy to grow. You just have to find that right place.
There you go. Yeah, that's been my problem. I've had a few, and they just didn't seem to hang in there. So I thought, all right, I'll try something else. Well, that's good. Maybe I'll have to just move them around and see if I can find a good spot for them.
Well, it depends on what kind of orchid you get. There are so many different varieties that some like indirect light, some like more light. So it depends on the actual variety of the plant.
Oh, okay. I'll have to pay a little more attention to that. Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, thank you for that bit of gardening advice. Now let's get into your book. You are an accountant, and that just seems a big step for an accountant to an author. How did that come about?
Well, that's very true. You know, I've always liked to write, and but my motivation actually came when my pastor challenged everyone to have God take them out of their comfort zone. So I prayed and said, "Okay, Lord, what would that look like for me?" And then the thought came to write a book, and I laughed. I thought, "Oh my goodness!" I mean. Of course, the first thing when that thought came, right behind it came all the reasons why I couldn't. You know, well, I'm an accountant. I'm not a writer. You know, I wasn't educated that way. Number one. Number two, I'm not a pastor or a learned, you know, theologian. And, so I had all these reasons why I couldn't. And then Moses popped into my head. And it was like, oh, yeah, Moses. Well, Moses was so insecure that God ended up giving him Aaron to help him speak when probably Moses could have done it. But I actually thought, well, if Moses can, you know, Moses did it. And if God is putting this into my head, then, and if it's really done right, I'm not going to be the person really writing the book anyway. I'm going to be typing the words and doing all this other stuff, but it's actually going to be what he wants to say. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, God, if this is where we want to go, then let's do it. So, the title came to my mind first, you know, Return to Me, God's Heart Cry. And then the cover came, and the cover was a challenge because I was trying to get what was in my head to a designer's pen. And in my head I had a rugged cross, and that's not what's on the cover. And then the heart with the teardrops was God's heart you know, crying because he wants us to return to him. But so the designer puts the face in the heart and then the teardrops. So I kind of said, okay, well, we'll go with that and I'll bypass the rugged cross. So that's kind of how it started. And then for the writing part, I actually wrote before I went to work in the morning. I got up like a half hour, hour ahead of schedule and actually wrote. And it took me 3 years to actually write this. It's not even that long, but it took me 3 years to write it. And then it took me another year to actually put it into print and cover and put it all together.
It is quite a process. And talking about the cover, it's difficult when you as the creator have the idea of what you want it to look like and you just can't do it yourself and you have to count on someone else to do it. That's a bit of a frustrating point. I understand that. Why don't you give us a synopsis of the book? Just tell us a little bit about, you know, what's inside.
Okay, well, the book is a question and answer. It's very simple and straightforward. I actually wrote it as if I was talking to you. I shouldn't even say I wrote it because that's really not true. It's actually written, let me say it that way. Written as if we're talking back and forth. It's a conversational question and answer, and it's designed to bring up questions inside the reader, and they're questions only God can answer. I talk about the prophets, and that's in their lives and relating to them. I have a section about God, where in the beginning, how it all started, and where things went awry. And I talk about Jesus and the Holy Spirit and how all that fits together. And then I talk about your heart and conscience. And your heart's your core. So your heart has to be right. God tells us to protect our heart. I mean, the heart was so important that he's mentioned it over 700 times in the Old and New Testament. So the heart is really important. So I have a section about the heart. And then I have a conclusion. And I put it all together. And it's up to the reader how the reader interprets, you know, and what the reader wants, you know, and how much he wants. How close a relationship does he want with God or what? So it's just designed for the reader and God. Mm-hmm. There's no me in there. There's no me.
No, I get it, because that journey is so very personal. So basically, you're just teasing the reader to say, okay, here's a little nugget. Now you go think about that.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay, so is there an overarching message of the book, would you say?
Well, the message is that God wants to be a part of our lives. And in today's world, we are so distracted, so many things, we don't have time. I mean, it's so ironic when you think back to the early times that they didn't have all these wonderfully modern conveniences, but they had time. We have zero time, and we've got all these conveniences. So that, to me, doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but the message would be that God just wants to be a part of your life. And how much you let him in is how much of a part he'll be. Mm-hmm. And he wants to be more of a part.
Interesting. So as you were writing this, did you have a desired outcome to specifically help others, or was this something more of a cathartic journey for you?
No, I'm definitely a helper. I mean, that's in my genes. I took nursing before I took accounting. So I definitely want, it's kind of like a bridge. You know, you get to the bridge, you know, it's kind of like a ladder leading to a bridge. So the book is hopefully to lead the person to the bridge so the person walks over the bridge. Because obviously to get to the other side, you have to make that decision. And unless you make that decision, then you're not going to get there. But the book is just like the ladder to get you to the bridge. Mm-hmm. That would be my desired outcome, is that it will stir people to wanting to know God better.
So I understand that you were writing this to help others, but in the process, did you learn anything about yourself while you were writing the book?
Oh, heavens, yes.
Share a little.
You can't write anything. And I've heard this from other authors. Kay Arthur is one who said this too, where sometimes when you write things, you're actually writing for yourself.
Yes.
So the whole time you're saying, here's your ladder, I'm making sure that as the ladder is presented, that me personally, I'm actually walking up those stairs, you know, and I'm looking at that bridge and I'm saying, okay, I am going to the other side of that bridge. So yes, you can't help, when you pour your heart and soul into something, you can't help but be part of it.
Was there something specific that really stands out?
Just that an awareness of God's presence. Mm-hmm. You know, he's around us 24/7, and whether we choose to see him or not is our choice. And if anything, it made me want to see him more.
Now, I think it was on your website, you say that we live in a world that is broken. How so, and what can we do about that?
Oh my gosh, I live in Central Florida, and we just had, mm-hmm. and in a nightclub, we just had somebody come in and kill 50 plus people because of their lifestyle. That is broken.
Absolutely.
That is not supposed to be. I mean, we've got a McDonald's in Munich, a shooter went in. I mean, people are killing people. We are broken, and that's what I mean. We've strayed away from looking at your brother, looking at another human being as your brother. You know, somehow that's lost, and that's what I mean by broken. I mean, we are a human. When you look at the human being, we are so uniquely, we're a masterpiece. We're uniquely made. And we're, each one of us are different. And I mean, when you look at how many people are in the world, and each one of us are completely different, but yet we have a common bond. I mean, it's just, we're just such a masterpiece. And I think people forget that, you know, that Jennifer Lopez has a big message that we're to love everybody. And you know what? We're missing that piece. I mean, we are our brother's keeper. We need to take care of and consider our brother as ourselves. I mean, that's biblical,
yeah.
But somehow we're losing that, you know? I mean, I'm not a psychologist, so I'm not even going to pretend that I have all the ins and outs, but it just seems that we've missed the piece that we are our brother's keeper, and people are important. Somehow we've missed that.
Yes, I agree, and I firmly believe that we as human beings are inherently good. I really feel that there is good within us, and I don't know how or where we've gotten off track, where we've gotten to the place where we are today. And so you're suggesting that there is a solution. So how can you reach a person, though, who doesn't realize that they need some help, or they don't really realize what makes them tick? How can we reach out to people and bring that realization to them?
Well, hopefully, and that was really that's another purpose of Return to Me, is that today, now when I was a girl, we had a moment of silence. We did not have prayers in school. Now you can't even have any of that. Mm-hmm. I kind of think our country was established, I should say, on basic principles, and then God we trust. And we've kind of deviated from that. And I think that we've deviated from our core, and that's what's happening. And the result is, when you deviate from the core, you have some of this little, what I call insanity, happening. And I believe, like you do, we are basically good. And I believe that is, we were created good. Mm-hmm. And we kind of went off, and but we are basically good. And God is there to put out his hand, and he has been. I mean, if you look around, he is everywhere. And you just have to want to see him. Now, I studied botany, and I was so fascinated because I studied anatomy and the similarities between a tree and a human being in the cells and how everything works. It's amazing. I mean, when you look at creation, I mean, we are definitely part of creation. I mean, you can't not see that. So when we go through our lives and we push that piece out, then we're not whole. So I think some of the brokenness is because we're not reconnected, and for getting people back there, and they just have to hear the message that God is there. Mm-hmm. And in all of the insanity and all there, God is there. If you want him, he says, if you desperately search for me, you'll find me. So we just need to start looking in the right places. I think we're just looking in the wrong places.
I agree with that. You know, I think that so many people look to our and I'm going to do an air quote here, our leaders, whether it be government or whatever, and look to them as the direction in which we should behave. And apparently, and obviously, all those people have lost their minds. And so I don't think we as a people have any one or group of people who we can look to for guidance. So what you're suggesting is that basically we need to start looking within. And if every single person started to look in and read your book and start to be tickled by some of those questions, maybe we can turn some of this around.
Maybe that's the hope, boy. Mm. I mean, we are good. And even though there is bad, we are good. And I mean, when you look at, I'm a movie person and I see a lot of movies, and the ones that always kind of go are the ones between good and evil, and good always wins. And I tell you, I believe that with all my heart, good will win. And we even have the end of the book and the end of the story and good wins. So, mm-hmm. You know, it will happen.
Exactly.
It will happen.
Well, let's hope it happens sooner rather than later, because we're in a real crazy predicament right now. So that's why I was really interested to talk with you and get your perspective on all of what's going on and maybe some solutions here.
Yeah. Well, I think until people actually realize that the solution's within themselves, mm-hmm. and stop going everywhere else and just sit down and say, well, wait a minute here. You know, it starts with you. You know, it's not going to start with anybody else but you until you start putting people first, you know, and forget this black, white, blue, purple, green, whatever, and forget all that stuff and just start putting people as human beings and putting them first, and we've got that ability within us. Mm-hmm. And until that happens, it's just not, I mean, I believe people are people and human, and mm-hmm. everybody deserves respect.
Right.
And you have to treat people with respect. And until we do that with everyone, then we're going to have this insanity. People have to be accountable for mistakes that they make, and no one is perfect, mm-hmm. you know, and people do make mistakes. So, but they have to be accountable. I mean, some of the things that have happened, some of the governmentals haven't been really accountable for some of the things that happened, at least in what I've heard and read. Let me say it that way.
Well, and that's another whole story where the whole media situation, you know, we don't know what's real and what we're supposed to hear. So it's really hard to decipher. So yeah, I think I would encourage people to just take that time to look inward and figure yourself out from the inside out. And I'm going to think a big excuse is, though, that folks these days are just so overwhelmed. Everybody's working to try to survive. And then they come home and have kids and grandkids. And you know, when is the time for you? You know, when do you have that time?
Well, I actually have found that for me, my time is earlier in the morning. I get up before anybody else. So for me, that's my time. Mm-hmm. So I find my thinking is clear before I have to address the world, so to speak. You know, so my thinking is much clearer when it's quiet. So I can't do it at night. I've tried nighttime, you know. But my study time is early, and I did that when I went back to school and for college, is I used to get up in the morning. I found that I could get up in the morning and study for an hour, which was actually 3 hours later in the day. Mm-hmm. So I said, oh, my gosh, I'm more of a sponge here in the morning. So I would get up earlier in the morning, and I didn't really miss that half an hour or hour, you know, of sleep time.
No, I get that. And people need to figure out if they're morning, night, or what their time
is.
So that's when you did your writing. Now, let's talk a little bit about your writing process. Being an accountant and having things very orderly, did you write an outline for this or did you just start writing? How did that work for you?
No, I actually started writing. I had the thought I wanted to address a couple profits. So I started there. And then from the prophets came, you know, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That came because that had to be part of it. You know, it's meant to be God talking to you, the mm-hmm. reader. I actually did not have an outline. I started with, like I said, with the prophets, then the heart and conscience. You know, I knew I needed to put the trilogy in there, and then the heart and the conscience came. And then I didn't want it to be a long thing. I wanted it to be not a long book. Straightforward. Anybody can read it. You don't have to have a 180. I mean, no confusion. Straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's what I like. Just get to the point.
Yeah.
Bottom line, yeah, tell me.
Yeah, the counting may have had something to do with that, with the bottom line.
You know, it's kind of interesting to me that I've been finding as I'm talking with different authors that those that have the background and education and occupation of something, say, as an accountant or an engineer or an architect, where things have to be really precise, tend to just dig in and start writing, whereas others who might be more carefree in their career are pretty steadfast when it comes to outlining. So that's a whole subject I'd like to delve into psychologically sometime in the future. Yeah, I think that's very interesting. So as you were writing, how did you know when you were done?
Well, I didn't want it long. Matter of fact, I heed and hawed over the heart and conscience because there's a lot more I would have liked to have said, but it would have brought me down a whole nother area. And I just didn't want it long, you know. A lot of time, because we don't have time today. You know, I didn't want a 300-page book, and being an unknown author, you know, I didn't want to. I want it to be reasonably priced, so it doesn't break anybody. And I want to get people to start thinking, because it's not the book. The book is just the ladder. You know, you still got to cross that bridge. Mm-hmm. This is just the beginning part.
Right.
You know, this is opening your mind to, well, okay, how could I do that better, and how does that fit in, and you know, and listening to that voice and tuning in that voice. You know, that's just walking up the ladder. So I didn't want it long.
Easy to read. So what does your family think of your writing and your book?
I didn't tell them.
Oh, no.
I didn't tell them. I did it. I told them when it was in my hand. Hey, Mom and Dad, look what I did. I have a book here. Yeah, no, I didn't tell them. I just felt like it wasn't an approval thing. I was doing what I thought I was supposed to do. So I gave it to them when I was finished.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting.
Now, my mother did, I will say, my mom edited it for me. My mother read it through before I gave it to the editor. That's a whole, you know, a whole thing of the process,
right,
of having all that stuff. But she did read it because I wanted somebody, I had several people read it. I had, before I ever sent it to the editor, just to say, does this make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? But yeah, she did read it through, and because my mom is can be an English teacher,
mm-hmm.
So she could correct my grammar. But my grammar wasn't too bad, knock on wood.
Oh my gosh! Well, that's kind of the last thing you're thinking about when your heart is pouring out the words. You can't stop and try to be grammatically correct, because then you lose that momentum, I would imagine.
Yeah. Well, I went back. I've read this so many times. I mean, I would do a section, and then I would put it away. I'd work on another section, and then I would not even touch it for a while. Then I would go back and reread it, because you see things, you know, when you've not read it. And I will say that kind of the neat thing is the people that I've given it to, some people just to say, okay, hey, what do you think, before I actually put it out there. And a couple of the people who have read it have basically said, which is, I was very stunned on this. I don't know why, but who said, while they read the book, they had a question before they read the book, and while they're reading the book, God answers the question.
Oh.
So it's like, well, okay, sweet, sweet.
You know, it just might be a matter of being open and allowing it to come in.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, what is next for you then?
Well, I have a couple of thoughts. I haven't got any confirmation, but I'd kind of like to do one on the mind, body, and soul, mm-hmm. and how it all fits together. Mm-hmm. But I have a draw to the Day of the Lord, which is, that's where, that one's really intense. I'm not sure I want to. That's a very intense subject, and so I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it would be nice if your readers would give me some feedback. There, your listeners.
Exactly. There you go. I was going to ask you about that. How much feedback are you getting, and then where can folks go to give that feedback?
Well, you can go to my website, standtogetherinc.com, and that has a place where you can contact me, or you can contact me at my email, standtogether, the number 2, and day, @gmail.com. But yeah, I'm very much to be interested in people. I'm very interested in what people have to say to me. No comment positive or negative. I'm open.
As we should be. It's always difficult to get negative ones, but if we're honest with ourselves, unless it's just a really mean-spirited person, there's usually a little kernel of something where we could think, oh, maybe that would be better or different. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So StandTogetherInc.com, is that the best place to find more about you and to purchase your book?
You can, yes. You can purchase it there, or you can go on Amazon, Barnes & Noble for the hardcover. Now, Amazon, as we speak today, shows I'm temporarily out of stock, which I honestly don't understand that because I'm a print on demand. Mm. So I don't really get that, but you can get it there. Okay. And you can get the ebook on Kindle and iTunes. You can get those right away if you're so into that technology.
Okay.
So.
Excellent. StandTogetherInc.com. Now, is there anything then that we missed that you would like to talk about today?
Yes, sir. I hope people hear my heart. Mm-hmm. You know, the book isn't something that I would have done on my own. And I'm nowhere in this book. So when you go to purchase it, I would just hope that they would realize that this is for them, not me. it's just hear my heart and hopefully when they read the book, they'll see it. I fully believe with all my heart that our answer lies in God and how he can direct us in today's society. And I believe that if they read this book with an open mind, that will be their end destination as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, and I think your heart does shine through just from this conversation today. So we're going to send everyone to get a copy of your book, Return to Me, God's Heart Cry, at StandTogetherInc.com. And we want everyone to open your minds and climb that ladder that Nancy has put out there for you so that you can cross the bridge and we can become a better feeling person, people, population, humanity, and world. Nancy, what a pleasure to have this conversation with you today. I knew it was going to be a great one and you did not disappoint. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. You're so sweet.